Du lytter til Supercomputing i Danmark, et program om forskning, teknologi, big data og supercomputere. Supercomputing i Danmark udgives af DAIC. Din vært hedder Iben Julie Schmidt.
How can we make sure that all the software systems that are surrounding us in every day and that we are relying more and more on, be it on our smartphones or in planes, that the autopilot is a software, yeah. How can we be sure that all these systems are working correctly?
Vores mobiltelefoner, autopiloter og hospitalsudstyr anvender alle avanceret software. Men hvordan kan vi egentlig vide, at den software, som vi er blevet helt afhængige af, virker som den skal? Det kan vi ved hjælp af matematik. Matematiker og computerspecialist Peter Schneiderkamp forsker i, hvordan man kan bruge matematik til både at verificere og konstruere software. Og så har han lige efterprøvet et af verdens største matematiske beviser ved at bruge supercomputeren Abacus.
My name is Peter Schneiderkamp and I'm a professor of computer science here at the University of Southern Denmark. And my research I did my PhD in Germany, where I originally come from, on the topic of software verification. So I've been in the last years concerned a lot with how we can mathematically rigorously show that software computes the right answers. And even better, in recent times we have worked on creating software where we create the software out from a mathematical model to begin with, and this mathematical model has mathematically been proven to be correct. And by this we know that the software that is automatically generated from the computer from this model is also correct by construction. And we have used this approach recently to verify some of the largest proofs of mathematical theorems or of theorems in computer science in existence. Last year we showed that a recent proof that for sorting nine numbers, for example, or nine telephone entries on your phone, yeah, you can do this no matter what order they are coming in, and without having to make any sophisticated algorithms, you can do this in maximum of 25 comparisons. So 25 times comparing one number to another or some phone entry to another one will give you a sorted list if you do it in a clever way. And what we did is we took this proof, which had been generated by a computer that had gone through all the possibilities, of which there are very many, not trillions, but these numbers don't have names. Yeah, okay. But the computer has been able to exclude all these alternative cases, so that we know that there are not any possibilities that you can do it with 24 comparisons. And as a result of this, the computer has produced 27 gigabytes of mathematical proof. Yeah, the only problem with that proof being that it is generated by a software which we have no reasons to trust. It's actually software that we wrote ourselves here in the research group and together with some cooperation partners, mainly in Israel, at the University of the Ben Gurion University of the Negev. And what we did is then we modeled, my postdoc and I, we modeled this problem in a mathematical way by proving theorems and lemmas about this. And once we had specified all the theory about it, we also wrote a mathematical specification of an algorithm that will go and check whether this proof is actually correct. And then we were able to prove that this algorithm is correct within this mathematical model. And then out from this model, we extracted a small computer program, which then ran through all the 27 gigabytes of proof. And after, I don't remember exactly, 6 hours, I think, said that this is actually a mathematical proof. So the original result that we got a year earlier is correct. Well, this was in 2015, where 27 gigabytes was a lot for a mathematical proof. Fast forward to 2016, where in May 2016, researchers around Marijn Hoyle at the University of Texas in Austin, they created the so far largest mathematical proof ever. It's a proof of the Boolean Pythagorean triples conjecture, which basically is about this formula that you know from high school: a squared plus b squared is c squared. And now if you have a, b and c such that this equation holds, then this is a Pythagorean triple. And the question is, can you always color the natural numbers in such a way that there are no three numbers a, b and c such that a squared plus b squared is c squared, so that such that they are a Pythagorean triple, and that they all have the same color. So can you color the natural numbers with two colors only, let's say black and white, yeah, or green and blue, in such a way that you don't have three numbers that are all green and for which this equation holds? Well, the result is you can't. Yeah, uh-huh. And the researchers used a supercomputer in Texas to get this result. And the proof is 200 terabytes. That is, it would require approximately 10 billion years of reading, of concentrated reading, to just read the proof. So if you assume that we have a very good mathematician, well, let's say we have a very good 10 million mathematicians, that's maybe a good estimate of how many mathematicians we have in the world, yeah? Well, you would still need 1,000 years for them to read through all the proof, yeah, and check whether it is correct. And let us not talk about the possibility that these guys might be wrong.
No.
Yeah, I mean, I would make some mistakes if I would sit 1,000 years and work on the same proof. I will probably die before. Mm. So here was again a good opportunity to use a similar approach. Yeah, with the only problem being that we would use years of computational time to verify this proof, if we would be able to pull off the same mathematical formalization and in this way trusted mathematically proven checker. Well, the good news is that the theory behind this problem is actually quite simple. I mean, I can explain most of that to a regular high school student in maybe 8th or 9th grade. Yeah.
Okay.
So we also explained this to the computer within a couple of weeks and proved everything to be correct, and obtained a procedure that can go through this 200 terabyte proof and prove it correct. But 200 terabyte is a lot of data, and our estimates were that even in the best and most efficient version of this checker that we were able to obtain, it would take around 8 years for a computer to go through all these 200 terabytes of data. Yeah. So instead, we turned to the new and local supercomputer Abacus 2.0, which is part of the National High Performance Computing Center here, the University of Southern Denmark. And this supercomputer has a more than 400 nodes, and we were using this possibility for parallel processing by running 24 instances of this checker on each of the nodes. Well, at least in principle, actually we ran 50 on each node, and in order to compensate that some of them might be finishing faster than others. But of course, they ran at half speed because each of the nodes can only run 24 threads in parallel. Now, running this on one node with 24 processes would cut down our time to just under 4 months. But being able to run this on several hundred nodes, yeah, cut down the time that we needed to run the checker on all parts of the proof to just under 2 days. And well, in just 2 days, we actually were able to run through all the 200 terabytes and verify that this 200 terabytes of data actually are a mathematical proof of the Boolean-Pythagorean triple conjecture, as these researchers from Texas claimed half a year ago. And well, we published a paper on this result, but as much as that on actually the ideas that make our implementation fast, yeah, we had to break with some of the preconceived ideas of how to do this in order to get a speed up of approximately 100 times. We already know that there are several groups both in the US and in Europe that are working on extending our work to a more general case that can be applied to even to different problems and to actually a very large number of problems from software and hardware verification. Of course, we're not going to be outdone on this one, so we actually have already worked on extending this work ourselves to the more general case, which would be applicable to literally thousands of different problems from the engineering, from the computer science, and from mathematics domain. And here we are showing how the same ideas that were successful for this 200 terabyte proof can be used for any problem that can be modeled by propositional logic. That is the very basic logic where you have basically two states: things can be true or they can be false. Yeah, and then what you can do with these true or false states is you can combine them by saying one thing has to be true and the other thing has to be true, meaning that they have to be both true at the same time. You can say one thing or the other thing, in which case at least one of them has to be true. And you can say this here should not be true, it should be false, yeah, which is called negation. Yeah, and this is basically all the operations that you can do in this logic. So if you can model anything by this logic, that means if you can model something by bits, 0 or 1, yeah, and the relation between these bits you can describe by simple formulas, well then you're lucky, because then you can already use our new extended results to mathematically verify your results. Of course, depending on how large your results, how large your problem is, you might require to run the checker on a supercomputer. Yeah, maybe you're lucky and your results are just going to be some gigabytes in size, in which case you'll be fine running them in some hours or some days on a single computer. What is new is that our system's at least 100 times more efficient, in many cases closer to 1,000, yeah, which makes all the difference, because the checkers that other research groups, including the one from Texas, have been working on, they have been able to verify the proofs of toy examples of small formulas that people use to exemplify things in papers, the size that you can write down on one page of paper. And well, the proofs of that, they tend to be maybe in this order of some kilobytes. Yeah, giving a proof of several megabytes to these systems already resulted in long waits. Yeah, and it was unthinkable that they could scale to anything like a gigabyte of a proof. Now, if you're working with applications of the encoding things to propositional logic, for example, in software verification, then several gigabytes is a very realistic and not a high number of size for the proofs of that you get in these verifications. And if you want to verify this, then well, let's see, let's say it's 10 gigabytes, and you will need already several days for 10 megabytes. Yeah, so you will need 1,000 times more time. So you will, even if it's only 10 gigabytes, yeah, you would use thousands of days or several years of computing time for such a problem. With our results, we can bring down this time to anywhere in the minutes to hours range. And this is, of course, important if we are thinking industrial applications. We can't wait with a new controller for a new space rockets 3, 4, 5, 6 years until we have verified that they're correct. In this time, we already have launched this rocket and have found out whether the controller works or not. As for example, with the Ariane 5, if anyone is old enough to remember that. But here, we now have a chance of actually going out to industrially sized real world problems and verifying that these systems work by verifying that the proofs found by other software, which other people have developed very smart software. Yeah, we have a lot of artificial intelligence in there, which tries to mimic the process by which humans verify other software. Yeah, but in the end, they all break it down to bits and to formulas about these bits, and we can verify that what they have broken down to, that this actually has the properties that are desired, and by this that the original system was okay. I think for the future it is important, as more and more areas in research, but also in innovation, in industry, are moving towards working with big amounts of data. It is important that we have resources to do compute with this data on more than a superficial level. If you look at the big data systems, then a lot of these things are about how I can get some quite easy summarizing information or find some patterns in large amounts of data. But what if you have a large amount of data that you actually need to do something computationally intensive with, that you actually have to do something more than simple statistics on? Well, if you're in such a case, yeah, you're not going to be able to achieve your goals, be they research or technological innovation, without access to serious resources. Given the speed of the development in the area of high-performance computing, I mean, we are every year getting new systems that outperform the previous fastest systems, and a system from 5 years ago is just slow. Yeah, so given that, I think it is not a wise investment to invest in too many different high-performance computing solutions, and having a small and nationally available, also to private industry, set of supercomputers is, I think, a much better strategy than having each organization have to maintain their own center. As an example, take a large corporation like Lego or like Danfoss. They have the financial and also personal resource means to actually run such clusters. They're still struggling with actually doing that because it's not core to their business. Yeah, but they have a lot of need for this. Yeah, there are a lot of small and medium-sized enterprises that just don't have the financial means or the manpower to actually run their own clusters. And the only solution that they would have if we would not run a national strategy for supercomputing would be to go and build clusters large enough that these clusters can actually run this infrastructure. But well, if we're talking about the joint infrastructure, this is one of the things where the state has actually proven to be quite efficient. I'm a quite liberal person. I'm not advocating that the state should control everything, quite to the opposite. But infrastructure like roads, yeah, like energy, the transportation, yeah, or supercomputing should be centrally and on a national level. And that's what I think is actually working quite nicely here.